The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Okay, this is going to be kind of a sermon with activity in the middle of it. This is a day of celebration. And so we've been fasting and praying. And we're going to be giving in a few minutes. Thank you, Mike. For the series, we've been talking about from Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 35. Why are disciples always eating and drinking? Why are the people in the beginning of the church always eating and drinking? Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? And the answer to that is no. Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So that's one of the reasons that we fast, because the bridegroom is not here like he was. When he comes back, we won't be fasting anymore, all right? But right now, fasting is good for us. So the topic I want to discuss is how fasting and celebrating prosper you. Right? There's a prosperity in this. And let's look at Zechariah, imagine that, chapter 8, verses 18 through 19. Here is another message that came to me from the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The traditional fast and times of mourning that you have kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. And that's the kind of fast we've been having, one of joy and celebration, all right? Not of mourning. It's a different time, and that's the way we're fasting and enjoying it. That's what I've heard this morning. Just from your testimonies. In the scriptures, there's at least 75 times when there were occasions for celebrations. There's a whole lot of party going on in the scriptures. I mean, people just, they got excited about things. And celebrations happened at different times. It happened when people were delivered, when they were in trouble, and, you know, bad days, bad hair days, you know. God would show up and deliver them, and they would rejoice and say, look, come and see what the Lord has done. And that's the way our life ought to be. Come and see what the Lord has done. We did it this morning. It's very uplifting to hear what you have to say. It builds me up in my spirit. You know, we walked into this fast kind of fat, dumb, and happy. And by the way, I noticed the congregation is kind of dwindled, you know. And I'm not talking about the number of people. I'm just talking about you. They've just kind of dwindled down a little bit, all right? Some of you are just pulling your pants off and, you know, tightening up your belt a little bit more. Just one of the byproducts of fasting. But whenever we get delivered from something, we ought to be celebrating and telling someone about it. That's what I love about the church. I tell you all the time, Jesus saves your soul, the church saves your life. Because when something of celebration, some deliverance, you can come to us and we rejoice with you. You go to the world and tell them what God has done, they don't get it, all right? So, deliverance. When their enemies were defeated, when you get a chance to stomp the devil out, tell somebody about it. Rejoice over it. They did in the scriptures over and over and over again. They had times of celebrations. When the work of the Lord was completed, when they did what God told them to do, they celebrated. They got together, had a party, broke out the food. Remember the prodigal son when he came home? Man, it was celebration. I mean, the prayers of dad were answered. Get the fatted calf, you know, let's have a party because that which is lost has been found. When the sacrifices were made, when they brought a sacrifice to the altar, they would celebrate those things. You see, Christianity has kind of gotten a bad rap, and people think it's a time of, you know, gloom and doom, and, you know, and I tell you this all the time, I can't forget that church in town that had those big signs in the building. It said, silence! Man, I wouldn't go to that church in 100 years. I mean, silence? No, was a place of celebration and joy. One of the things I learned when I first became a Christian, and I was used to going to silent churches. And there was a guy in the church, and he was the biggest amener I ever heard. The pastor would say, "Good morning, folks." He'd say, "Amen." He said, "Let's open our Bibles." He'd say, "Amen. You know, we're going to turn the book of Luke." Amen. I mean, he was amening all the time. And I picked it up. I love it. You know, when I'm in the audience, I like to amen, you know. It's just something about it. It's a celebration. It's times of joy when we get together. And they fasted, and then they celebrated. At the end of every fast, there was a celebration. That's what we're doing right now. We're enjoying the celebration of what we did. Now, what happens when you celebrate? It turns our focus away from, oh, me. Oh, I have to fast. I haven't had any chocolate in so long. I just can't wait, Becky, to get home. My snow caps are waiting for me. They've been talking to me for 21 days. I'm going to get a handful of them, and I'm going to munch them all down. I just can't wait to get home to do that. You know, it's a time of gift. Amen. You got it right. It's a time to celebrate. We're focusing on God. But when we got the cement and the deodorant jaw mentality, and I can't help it situation, we never celebrate. But when we see God, it's always a time of celebration. And we've got songs that talk about that. Oh, when I see him, I can only imagine what I'll do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be shouting. You know, it's going to be a time of joy and celebration. Not only coming, but we have the down payment of joy and celebration right here. I had a friend of mine that I was there when he preached his first sermon. And I don't remember the sermon, but I remember the illustration. I mean, the church week that he preached in, they had no joy. I mean, they were just loved being miserable. And when he was preaching, and he looked out, he said, "Man, some of you people need to get happy. You look like you've been sucking on a dill pickle all day." You know, and that's the way it is sometimes in church. Well, you might have problems in the world, but you can leave your problems behind when you get around God's people and begin to celebrate. It's hard to be depressed when you're dancing like David danced. I will dance like David danced, all right? Many years ago, Pat and I had gone to a Bible study, and I've told the story, but not all of you have heard it. When you've been preaching for 15 years, you know, some of you have been around for a while, you get to hear my stories more than once. But we went to a Bible study, and I think it was on a Friday night up in Picayune, and I had been working. You know, it was Friday, I was kind of tired anyway, and I was sitting there, and one of the guys had a guitar, and he was playing the guitar. And then all of a sudden, I found myself getting up, and I started dancing. I mean, I was just dancing. And I just worked myself into a deep perspiration dancing. And Pat's just laughing and laughing and laughing. I don't know why she's laughing. I guess she was like the woman who laughed at David when he danced, you know? And she told, when things kind of calmed down, the Bible study started, she said, and this is a good wife, she said, "I was polishing Morris's shoes, and when I polished his shoes, I prayed for him that these feet would be dancing." And that's exactly what happened, unbeknownst to me, all right? Tell me there's no God, all right? Tell me this is all a bunch of foolishness, you know? So there's something about dancing in the Lord. I don't dance as much as I used to because I'm getting older and I just can't do it. But I was a dancing fool when I was younger in the Lord, Pat will tell you. I could really dance, and I try to jump a little bit once in a while now, but now I just don't, the joints won't let me do what I used to do, all right? That's just the hazards of getting older. But if you're dancing and singing and rejoicing in the Lord, you will not be depressed. And when you feel depression coming on, start rejoicing and dancing and enjoying the moment. It's hard to feel down when your hands are raised in the air. Y'all remember, some of you guys have been around long enough. Remember when we first got involved in a Pentecostal charismatic movement and we go to churches and people were raising their hands and you'd kind of get one up a little bit, you know, you kind of get them up and you get, you know, just about like that, you know. You know, they don't want anybody to see you. You know, and after a while you start getting wacko, you know. You start raising your hands and jumping. There's something that happens to us when we worship the Lord with our hands in the air and we sing and we dance before the Lord. Celebration changes us, all right? So in celebration, they had music, they had food, they had festivities, and they had sacrificial offerings that they gave, all right? So that's what it was like. And we've chosen to fast, and we're choosing today to celebrate. Now, how does fasting and celebration prosper you? And I've only got a two-point sermon, all right? Imagine that. Your fasting is the seeds of peace and prosperity. You'll recognize the scripture because we just read it. For I'm planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. I love this picture of this. The grapevines will be heavy with fruit. That's your prosperity, all right? The earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings. Fasting and celebrating ushers in a new era of peace and prosperity. That's what it does. It changes you on the inside more than on the outside. The landscapes of our lives change. Where we had stress, we have peace. And we're stressed out. A lot of us are just taking drugs just to deal with the day. All right? And I'm not opposed to drugs, but I'm just telling you, sometimes we need to think about that. I remember before I came to the Lord, I got hooked on drugs. I got hooked on Valium. The doctor, I was in a very high-stress job. You know, I talk sometimes about the great time I had putting men on the moon. You know about stress. Man, that was stressful. The work I did was super, super stressful. I had a lot of demands on me, and it was affecting my physical being. I went to the doctor, and he said, just take this little pill. So I took that pill. Boy, suddenly stress went away. And I found out if it got real stressful and that didn't work, I could take two of them. And then I found out you could take a bunch of them. You'd really feel good. And after I was doing that for several years, and I didn't even know the Lord, I said, you know what? This is crazy. I am addicted to this stuff. And I made up my mind I'd get off of it, and I did. I quit taking that stuff. I'd rather live with the stress than be addicted to drugs. So that's just my testimony about that thing. But we want peace in our lives. And we'll find peace through what you've done through fasting and celebrating. We had poverty, and God gives us prosperity. Now, I want to take a look at the spiritual aspects of that more than the physical aspects. And of course, everybody wants more money. I know a lot of you were trying to get that $1.3 billion or whatever it was. You know, and I told some of you, you think I was kidding, but I was telling the truth. I didn't want it. I don't want to have to take care of $1.3 billion. I mean, and somebody tried to encourage me and said, well, when you get finished with it, you only have about 500,000. 500 million. I mean, what are you going to do with $500 million? Everybody who you don't even know is going to be trying to get it from you. You know, you're going to have to deal with it. You got to put it in bank. I mean, I don't need the stress. I'll take a couple of mil, but I'm just not interested in that much money, you know. I just enough to get me by. But what we need is spiritual prosperity. We need to be doing well in our spirit, man. I had a guy, his name was, I just lost his name. But anyway, doesn't matter. He was a real weight lifter and healthy guy. I mean, he was really, you know, in good shape. He was kind of short, but he was really, really stocky in muscle strength. And he said one time, he said, you know, Morris, he said, on the outside, I'm looking good. But he said, on the inside, I'm a little stick man. He said, my spirit man's not doing well. I look like a little pencil man you just drew out on the inside. And I've always kept that image. And many times, that's the way we are spiritually. Because if you want to get well on the outside, you go to the gym. You know, diet and exercise. We ought to say, diet and exercise. Because it's more exercise than diet that'll get you healthy, all right? So we need to exercise our spiritual man. That's what you've done in the past. You have been exercising. You've been addressing the things of the spirit. So now you may be slimmer on the outside because you're this quasi-diet, but inside you're fattened up. You're plump, okay? You're plump on the inside. Bob, that's why you can read the scriptures and suddenly they're coming alive. because you're plump. You've addressed the spiritual issue. If we don't address the spiritual issue, you will live a dry Christian life. You'll be eating crackers and cheese, and everybody else is eating at the banqueting table. So we need to do the things. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I call a fast, because I know it's good for us. And I appreciate Mike and Jim and many of you who did that, because I asked you to do it. I encouraged you to do it. I didn't make it mandatory. I mean, I'm not an Old Testament prophet that would do that. But I did my best to try to convince you that it was a good thing to do. And even though you did it, or maybe you just did it partially, you have done something good for yourself. Now, if you haven't fasted, there's always you could fast tomorrow. You don't need me to fast. You can decide to do it at any time. You can fast for anything, and there's a lot of things you should fast for during the year. Where we had curses, now we have blessings. We're broken curses. That's one of the things that happens when you fast. You break the powers. Who was it read the scripture? Was it Denise? Somebody about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. And it says that the weapons of our warfare are not earthly. They're not cardinal. You can't hold them in your hand. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations. So what you've done is you've empowered yourself using spiritual weapons. This is a spiritual weapon for the church to use in our daily lives. So remember that movie, The Gladiators? I love The Gladiators. I love the way it started at the very beginning with the Roman legions. And there's, you know, Russell Crowe. And he whips out his sword. And he said, "Rain down hell on them." And boy, the Romans start shooting fire on the enemy. And it's just a great opening scene. But that's what you've done. You've rained down hell on hell. You've rained it down on your enemies. They now know that you're serious about who you are in Christ. And they know that you have spiritual power and weapons to defeat the enemies who come against you. It's not how loud we speak against our enemies. They're not deaf. We can't say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." It feels kind of good to do it that way. But you could say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." You can use a soft voice. It's the rebuking of the name of Jesus that causes your enemies to flee. Right? So you've been working on that. You've been doing this. You're in the right place. A paradigm shift takes place in a fast. A paradigm shift is something new that hadn't been there before. You've just kind of shifted things over. You've shifted your life. You've shifted from being physical and thinking about physical things, and you've shifted to thinking about spiritual things. Now, I read a book, and in the book, it talked about how to change patterns in our life. It takes approximately 21 days to change a pattern in your life. 21 days. I'll give you a good example. Some of you experienced this, and Bob, you just experienced this, I know for sure. When you move into a new house, you find yourself tired. And the reason you're tired is because you're using brain power, conscious brain power, that you normally do subconsciously. When you live in a house for a long time, you know where everything is. You don't have to think about the light switches. You can go in the dark. You can hit the light switch. It's always right there. When you're in a new house, you don't know where it is. You have to think about it. You have to remember, where did I put the pots and pans? Where are things? But after about 21 days, you start getting acclimated to your new environment, and the tiredness that you had begins to disappear. That's true in anything. So what you've done, you've been 21 days working at something, and you've changed some patterns in your life. You're more used to spiritual things. So what you want to do is maintain that and keep that going for you. All right? And if you feel yourself drifting a little bit, and you start feeling you're getting back into cardinal ways, that would be a good opportunity for you to fast for a day or fast for a meal. Just to encourage yourself that you are not going back to the old ways of living under the flesh, but you're going to live under the Spirit. Okay? We've denied our flesh so that our spirit can feast. Remember, the great illustration of that is Jesus. When the disciples found him, by the woman, the Samaritan woman, and they said, they asked him if he wanted some food because they had gone to get some lunch, and he said no. And somebody said, well, did you get food? I mean, where did he get lunch from? And he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Well, you know of that food now. You've been eating that spiritual manna, and you've plumped yourself up, all right? You're just kind of choking now on the inside through your fast. So, and this will stay with you for a while, but if you don't maintain it, you know, you'll find that you'll begin to drift back to where you were, and you don't want that to happen. These seeds of peace and prosperity have been planted. God's been doing the planting, and you've been doing the growing, all right? You've kind of done the watering, and you've been kind of done the digging around, but it's God's seeds that have been done. Now, we've talked about praying and fasting, and I told you that one of the things that we wanted to do is to have a time of giving, because in Matthew chapter 6, that's what it talks about. Jesus said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. So those three things are part of it. And you're familiar with the concept of the threefold cord. The scripture says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. If you've ever weaved anything together with rope, you know, the more cords you have to it, the stronger it is, all right? So when we give, we're adding that third cord to what we do. So we've prayed, and we've prayed in faith. We haven't seen all of our prayers answered yet. But that doesn't mean that they're not being answered. The scriptures talk about our prayers being an incense in the heavenly realm, in the throne room of God. That fragrance and aroma continues in the heavenly realm. It doesn't go away. Every prayer, every uttered, is still in the presence of God. It doesn't go away. So there's a constant reminder before God. So how can God listen to all those prayers at one time? That's because he's God, and he's able to do that. But it's there, so they're not wasted. You may not hear them. You may not even remember them, but God remembers your prayer. Many times in the scriptures, you'll see God says, I heard your prayers. And particularly in the Daniel diet, when the Daniel fast, it says, I heard your prayers when you first began this. Took them 21 days to get there. Your prayers have been heard. So your prayers are resonating, and they're working for you right now. A fasting, we fasted in hope. We were hoping something good would happen, and it has. So we didn't know when we started. I went into the fast very reluctantly. I didn't want to do it. I just did not want to go through the process. I wanted my ham and cheese sandwich for lunch. I'm the ham and cheese king. I love a ham and cheese sandwich. I eat it virtually every day. I love it. It's just mayonnaise, mustard, ham, cheese, that's it. I like it like that. I don't even like to toast my bread. I do it virtually every day. I miss my ham and cheese. I didn't want to miss my ham and cheese. All the things that I like, I couldn't have. And all the things I hate, I had to have. If I see one more vegetable, I will croak. You know, I had vegetable soup, green stuff. I eat stuff I don't even know what it is. You know? But I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway, and I'm so glad that I did. I feel great today. I mean, I really do. And by the way, I was getting dressed this morning, thinking about, you know, being here, and I'm just excited about it. And this wasn't the Lord speaking to me. I know it wasn't the Lord, because I heard this voice say, well, you know, you can continue this longer if you want it. I said, no, I'm not doing it. You know, it's over with. I'm done. I'm cooked. Now, I have had times, and I think on one of the fasts that we had, that I actually extended it for 40 days. And I'm not the only one that's done that. Some other people in here have done that. So if God leads you to do it, I'd encourage you to do that. And that was magnificent. I don't want to be that spiritual, all right? I'm satisfied with a 21-day spiritual. I'm just kidding. If God calls you to do it like he called me to do it, I did it. So now, we're talking about giving. And you know, the best thing about giving is to give you testimonies. And I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony about how giving has worked in Pat and I's life. Remember, I'm the guy who, before he became a Christian, When I went to church, I was a change agent. By that, when the basket came around, I gave God all the change in my pocket, which wasn't very much. If it was a penny, that's what he got. If it was a buck and a half, that's what he got. So, I was a change kind of person. Well, now we're going to do things differently. We're going to give because we love to give, and that's what happened to me. I became a giver because I love to give. I changed, and I love giving. I'm surprised I got anything left. I just love to give. It's just one of the things I enjoy doing, and God has blessed me for. Before, I worked and hoarded everything, and I had nothing but debt. When Pat and I got saved, we became givers, and God has prospered us. Now, I am not a person who preaches, well, you give to get, but I'm telling you, it works. Here's a story. Pat and I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we went to Oral Roberts University. We went there specifically for a seminar that they were having. Now, I don't know if you remember much about Oral Roberts, but he was always about seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds. And we were there. We didn't have much money at the time. We were, just kind of getting by. We were okay, but we didn't have, an abundance of money. And he said, everyone who gives to Oral Roberts Oral Roberts Ministry will prosper. He said, they do prosper. I think he used the word everyone, but maybe he didn't say everyone, but the implication certainly was that there'd be a prosperity in it. He said, give it a try. I ask you to give for a year, which is a pretty long time, and give monthly, and see if you haven't prospered at the end of a year. Well, I thought about that, and I talked to Pat, and I said, you know what? Let's do it. And we pledged. It wasn't much. It was $25 or $50 a month that we gave, if I remember right. And we did that for a solid year. At the end of that year, our net worth had increased exponentially. I had gotten raises, promotions, all kinds of stuff happened because I... Was that the only reason? I don't know. But I know that's something that I was doing above and beyond what I would normally do. So it wasn't my regular tithes that I gave to the church. This was something I was doing different. And it was a year of great prosperity. So there is prosperity in planting seeds of giving, okay? Second thing I want to talk about, just briefly, your fasting changes mourning into praise. Zechariah 8, this is 10 and 11, and then verses 18 and 19. Before the work of the temple began, let me just give you a quick...
Want some change.
All right, got some change. I will take all the change you can get. They were building the temple. This is after they had been captured in Babylon. They were coming back, and it was time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and all of that was going on. So before the work on the temple began, there were no jobs and no money to hire people or animals. No traveler was safe from the enemy. Well, there were enemies on all sides. Does that sound kind of familiar? I mean, kind of like it might be contemporary? I had turned everyone against each other, but I will not treat the remnant, that's us again, of my people as I treated them before, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Here is another, this is verse 18. Here is another message that came to me from the Lord of heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. The traditional fast in times of mourning you have kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. So it's changed, all right? And your fasting changes times of mourning into times of praise. Traditionally, when fasts were done, many times it was times of mourning about things. But when praise came along, it turned it into a time of joy. Jesus delivered you as he delivered his people. in Zechariah's day. He is the deliverer. You have been delivered. You've been delivered from sin. You've been delivered from the enemy. That's who you are. You are a delivered, redeemed people, individually and collectively. When the people saw the temple rise up from the ground, they began to praise and worship. You ought to go read Nehemiah and also Ezra and see that whole picture of what took place when the temple and the walls were built. People were dancing and enjoying because they felt safe once again. One of the things that Christianity does for you, just knowing the Lord, is you have safety. You, in fact, it's a very interesting picture when it says that you are the temple of God. You are that temple. You are that building, not made with hands, but you are made with the hand of God, all right? That's who you are. You've grown up in Christ. You've risen up out of the ground, so to speak. And so it's a time of praise and joy, but not just for one day like it was for them. It's a time of joy every day. And you need to remind yourself who you are in Christ and let praise begin to radiate from you. God has seen your fasting. He's seen your prayers. He's seen your giving. You're the temple of God. You're not made with hands. His sacrifice is your sacrifice. That's what takes place at the temple, their sacrifice. His sacrifice became your sacrifice. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we live as we were crucified with Christ, we were buried with him, and we were raised to new life with him, okay? Your praise and his praise intermingle as one. He is in you, and you are in him. So as he's worshiping and praising, you are worshiping and praising. It's a big love feast that's taking place in the spiritual realm. That's why we can praise the Lord and worship him. To the unbelievers, utter idiocy to do that. But to a believer, there's something that is released. I don't know this from a medical standpoint, but I believe it's probably true, that those endorphins that make you feel good are released when you praise, when you sing songs of Zion. Why do we have music? We have music because it is good for us. There's always worship and praise. Remember when David was facing Saul, and Saul would go crazy and have these crazy fits, and David would play for him, and he would be at peace. So worship and praise is good for us on the inside. It makes us stronger in the spiritual realm, and it changes us. Father, we rejoice in our sacrifice of praise to you. And we thank you for your great sacrifice on Calvary's tree. We remember, Lord, we remember you. We remember what you did for us, that you gave your life willingly on the cruel tree, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that on the third day, you rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And Father, we rejoice in that story, the old, old story of Jesus Christ and what he did. Let us never forget. Let us never take it for granted. Let us always remember what you did. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we've celebrated, we've fasted, we've prayed, we've given, we've done everything we can do, except one thing. We haven't dismissed ourselves. So with that said, that's all in the words of Forrest Gump. That's all I've got to say about that. So you are dismissed in the name of the Lord.